Oh, yeah, that's sweet.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles
away. Hey, guys!
What's the matter, man? What's
going on? What is this crap?
Well, you know what we're
doing. This ain't Twisted Sister.
Yeah, but we thought that we
would. This is Twisted Sister.
Oh, I see what you mean. We never play anything nice and easy. We play things nice and twisted!
That, friends, is how you start a Christmas album. Thanks for tuning into the Audible Ecstasy podcast. That sounds weird doing this on my own. Those returning, thank you. Those new to this podcast, welcome. Now let's turn it up to 11 and get into this bonus episode. Well, we've journeyed beyond the outer limits and into a universe where a band like Twisted Sister has put together a Christmas album, and it's a damn good Christmas album. I know the guys who operate this podcast with me, week in and week out, toiling away like dutiful elves, have decided multiple times not to review this album. In fact, they've told me multiple times, we're not doing this album. Since they didn't want to review it, I thought I would take the time and dive into it myself because I always enjoy dusting this one off each Christmas season. Is it a Christmas must? Nope. But after hearing Last Christmas for the 1 billionth time, it is nice to put that song on the naughty list and dive into something different. Enough of that. What I want to do on this episode is to highlight a few songs from the album and give you a chance to headbang around the Christmas tree while spilling eggnog and tripping over presents as you do that. And watch out for Grandma. She likes this season too. And I hope that after hearing these few samples of these songs, that you may want to go out and give this album a full listen. Now, without further ado, let's get into the second song I want to feature from this album. That's a fun rendition of that song. All right, let me now dive into some Wikipedia information about this album, which is called A Twisted Christmas. The album was recorded from June to August 2006. The band produced the release themselves. Two music videos were made for O Come All Ye Faithful. The first one follows the same style of the band's landmark videos, We're Not Gonna Take It and I Wanna Rock. As a married couple celebrate Christmas when the wife discovers that her husband's gift to her is a CD copy of A Twisted Christmas. She then starts to rant about the present until Snyder and the band appear behind her. Her lines then are a nod to the video of We're Not Gonna Take It, where a father scolds his son with the exact same words. The second video version used the radio edit of the track. It is a short animated feature with the band taking over Santa's workshop and using his sleigh to drop off Twisted Sister merchandise and cans of hairspray to children. Sidebar, I don't think I've watched either one of these videos, and I really want to now. All right, back to Wikipedia. It says, the music video for Silver Bells is the sequel to the first O Come All Ye Faithful video, as the couple are paid a visit by numerous guests while the band performs live on television. The couple's new baby's head is replaced by the face of various band members singing. Sidebar again, that's terrifying. Back to the article. Twisted Sister also filmed a studio performance of Heavy Metal Christmas for GameTap. Unusually, this video featured frontman Snyder without his makeup. That's one of my favorites in any version. And according to Wikipedia, this is the reception the album received once it was released to the general public. Music critic James C. Monger praised the release for the publication AllMusic. Monger remarked that the band's members filtered the beloved Christmas Carol tradition through the same makeup-smeared sieve that brought them earlier success, arguing that Christmas albums need to either be pretty good, horrifically terrible, or completely original to cause even the jolliest head to turn. He wrote that Twisted Christmas manages to achieve all three and constitutes a collection of Yuletide classics. I hope you enjoyed that deepish dive into the album. The whole cast of this podcast will return next time. with our top five albums we covered in 2022. And if you stick around after Deck the Halls fades out, I will provide you with a little something extra in your stocking this year. Now, here's that special bonus. Is it coal in your stocking or not? I'll let you decide. But this is a chance to check out one of my podcast episodes. Whoa! Okay, I guess maybe it was a little more coal. You thought something special was coming, didn't you? You don't need to throw stuff. How'd you get to this podcast? Huh? You're the one always throwing stuff on my podcast. How did you get over here to this? Oh! Okay, I'll stop calling you out. I just want to play this episode for them. Get everybody a chance to hear us song lines and tan lines on their own if they've never heard it. Okay, put it down. Don't throw anything else now, okay? What I'm going to do now is I'm going to dive into an episode that I did for my podcast. It's all about the history of the ornament, the Christmas tree, and Santa Claus. And you also get some great Jimmy Buffett Christmas tunes as well. See, I told you. See? They put the thing down now. When they heard Jimmy Buffett, they put it down, and they're not going to throw anything else, right? You're nodding, right? It's a podcast. They can't see nothing. You got to say something. All right, just stay quiet then. Anyways, thank you guys for tuning into the Audible Ecstasy this year. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for everything you do. Hope you have a very Merry Christmas, a very Happy New Year. And like I said, we'll be back soon with our top five albums of the year. And I think we're going to throw in some honorable mentions. And we might actually do our three lowest albums of the year as well. So that's it. Thanks again for everything. Here's that episode from Songlines and Tanlines. Take care. Cheers.
Maka is the thing to say on bright Hawaiian Christmas Day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright. The sun will shine by day and all the stars at night. Melukaliki Maka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Take it, girl.
Melukaliki Maka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas Day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Song Lines and Tan Lines podcast, a place to take a momentary break from your day-to-day routine. Those returning, thank you. The support is appreciated. Those new to this podcast, welcome. Now let's pull up the anchor and set sail. This episode, I'm diving into the history of ornaments, the Christmas tree, and Santa Claus. And the song that opened the episode is Malakaliki Maka, which is one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's from Jimmy's album, Christmas Island. Now, let's get into some ornaments. This comes from the website oldworldchristmas.com, and it gives you an idea why we have ornaments on our trees. The article starts like this. Have you ever found yourself asking, why do we hang ornaments on a tree? Come along as we travel back in time to answer this question. Join Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer in the 16th century, walking home on a snowy winter evening, pondering a sermon. The moon was shining bright in the sky, and snow was freshly fallen. The snow was resting on the tree limbs, sparkling, shining, and glittering like the stars in the sky. Martin was so struck by the beauty of God's nature that he wanted to capture this brilliance and bring it home to share with his family. So, he came up with the idea of placing lighted candles on his Christmas tree. The Luther family tree was displayed in the main room with lighted candles that shined the flickering candlelight. Just like the snowy scene, the candlelight illuminated the tree's decorations. Ornaments such as paper flowers, cookies, fruit, and nuts were used to decorate Christmas trees as a sign that spring and life would return in the coming months. Paper streamers, popcorn, and cranberries were strung to add color and life to the Christmas tree. That's another favorite song of mine, I'll Be Home for Christmas, from Jimmy's album, Christmas Island. And let's get back to the article I was talking about. It says, to really understand why we decorate Christmas trees, we must travel back farther in time to the year 723. Saint Boniface was working his way through Germany on an evangelical mission. Boniface came across a pagan gathering. The people were dancing around a decorated oak tree, preparing to sacrifice a baby in the name of Thor. Boniface was appalled at the sight, and in one swing of an axe, chopped down the oak tree in the name of Jesus Christ. When the oak tree fell, it revealed a small fir tree. Boniface explained to the group that the fir tree is a symbol of the one true God. Its leaves are evergreen, and it will not die, with even its needles pointing to heaven. Tradition states that from that moment, fir trees were brought into Christian homes, decorated in the name of Jesus. Hanging religious ornaments on a tree was a way to honor the true meaning of Christmas, Jesus Christ's birthday. So there you go, a brief history on why we have ornaments on our trees. Moving on, now a brief history of the Christmas tree from whychristmas.com. Evergreen trees and other evergreen plants have traditionally been used to celebrate winter festivals, pre-Christian, pagan, and Christian, for thousands of years. Pre-Christian pagans used branches of evergreen trees to decorate their homes during their winter solstice, as it made them think of the spring to come. The Romans used fir trees to decorate their temples at the festival of Saturnalia. However, they were quite different to what we think of as Christmas trees. Now, nobody is really sure when fir trees were first used as Christmas trees. It probably began about 1,000 years ago in Northern Europe. Christmas trees might well have started out as paradise trees, branches or wooden frames decorated with apples. Those were used in medieval German mystery or miracle plays that were acted out in front of churches during Advent and on Christmas Eve. In early church calendars of saints, 24th December was Adam and Eve's day. The paradise tree represented the Garden of Eden. It was often paraded around the town before the play started as a way of advertising the play. The plays told Bible stories to people who could not read. Christmas trees, as they came to be now, started around the late 1400s into the 1500s in what's now Germany, was the Holy Roman Empire then. The paradise tree had more decorations on it, sometimes communion wafers, cherries, and later pastry decorations of stars, bells, angels, etc. were added. And it even got a new nickname, the Christbaum or Christ tree.
Merry Christmas, Alabama. Merry Christmas, Tennessee. Merry Christmas, Louisiana. To St. Bart's and the Florida Keys. Merry Christmas, Mississippi, where I started this wild and crazy run. Such a long way from my first birthday. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And that's another great one from that great Jimmy Buffett Christmas album called Christmas Island. And that song is called Merry Christmas, Alabama. And also on the site, whychristmas.com, there are some other interesting stats about the Christmas tree. Here are some of them. There are folk stories about how tinsel was created by the Christmas spider. These tales seem to have started in eastern Germany, Poland, or Ukraine, but are also told in parts of Finland and Scandinavia. The stories are now also popular in other countries, such as the USA, and all the versions of the story involve a poor family who can't afford to decorate a tree for Christmas. In some versions, the tree grew from a pine cone in their house. In others, the family have brought a tree into the house. When the children go to sleep on Christmas Eve, a spider covers the tree in cobwebs. Then on Christmas morning, the cobwebs are magically turned into silver and gold strands, which decorate the tree. And there's more on that too, but again, it's a lot, so I won't go into detail too much. You can read more on your own. Now let me move on to some more fun facts about Christmas trees. From this same site, Why Christmas? .com. The record for the most Christmas trees chopped down in 2 minutes is 27 and belongs to Erin Lavoie from the USA. She set the record on 19th December 2008. And according to the Guinness World Records, the tallest cut Christmas tree was 221 feet tall. It was a Douglas fir set up at the Northgate Shopping Center in Seattle, Washington, USA, in December 1950. The tallest artificial Christmas tree was 236.5 feet tall and was made by the Arjuna Ranatunga Social Services in Sri Lanka in Colombo, Sri Lanka on December 24th, 2016. And in many countries, different trees are used as Christmas trees. in New Zealand, a tree called the Pahutakawa that has red flowers is sometimes used. And in India, banana or mango trees are sometimes decorated. There you go. Some interesting facts about the Christmas tree and one butchered word. That word is Pahutakawa. It was spelled Pohutakawa. Now, let's dive into another Christmas song. That cover version of that song comes from Jimmy's Christmas album, Tis the Season, not season. It's S-E-A-S-O-N, season. I think you get it, right? All right, now time for Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. Ever heard of him? History.com had this to say about the jolly old elf, Saint Nick. It starts like this. We know very few historical details about St. Nicholas' life. Even the year of his death is uncertain, although both the Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches have celebrated December 6th, the date of his passing, for more than 1,000 years. Within a century of his death, the much-admired Nicholas had become the center of a series of folk legends. He was credited with stopping a violent storm to save doomed sailors, donating money to a father forced to sell his daughters into prostitution, and even restoring to life a trio of boys who had been dismembered by an unscrupulous butcher. That's a lot of dark stuff. Today, Nicholas is considered the patron saint of sailors, children, wolves, and pawnbrokers, among others, as well as the inspiration for the figure of Santa Claus. By the Middle Ages, Nicholas' fame had spread to much of Europe, thanks in large part to the dissemination of parts of his skeleton to churches in Italy, where they were venerated as relics. Saint Nicholas' popularity eventually spread to Northern Europe, where stories of the monk mingled with Teutonic folktales of elves and sky chariots. In the Netherlands, Saint Nicholas took on the Dutch-friendly spelling Sinterklaas, which is spelled S-I-N-T-E-R-K-L-A-A-S. He was depicted as a tall, white-bearded man in red clerical robes who arrived every December 6th on a boat to leave gifts or coal lumps at children's homes. Stories of Sinterklaas were likely brought to the New World by Dutch settlers in the Hudson River Valley. In his satirical 1809 History of New York, Washington Irving portrayed St. Nicholas as a portly Dutchman who flew the skies in a wagon, dropping gifts down chimneys. In 1823, another New Yorker, Clement Clark Moore, penned the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas, which traded the wagon for a sleigh drawn by 8 tiny reindeer. Beginning during the Civil War, cartoonist Thomas Nast published the first of a series of popular depictions of a rotund and jolly St. Nicholas. In 1879, Nast was the first to suggest that St. Nicholas lived not in Turkey, Spain, or Holland, but at the North Pole. There you go. The ornament, the Christmas tree, and Santa Claus. I hope you enjoyed those deep dives into their history. And the song that will close out the episode is going to be White Christmas from Jimmy's album, Tis the Season. Let me drop anchor here and close out the episode. Take care. Thanks for listening, and have a very Merry Christmas.
The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Key West, FLA. But it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be among.